It's Friday. It's Friday the 15th of February. And I'm in my classroom again on a Friday afternoon, except this time I'm not on my own. Say hello.
Hello.
This is the voice of techno teacher and Vickyville. Vicky. So each week I record a podcast, except I haven't for the last 2 weeks, but I'll come on to that in a moment. But I record a podcast each week, charting my adventures, teaching year 10, GCSE computing. I do teach a year 11 class as well, but I just thought it'd be more helpful to tell people about what I'm doing with my year 10 class. Now, I don't really think I'm an expert at this, but I'm trying to get there, and I welcome any suggestions or thoughts that you might have, and you can get in touch with me afterwards by Twitter, at technoteacher, T-E-K-N-O. Anyway, my name is Alan O'Donoghue and I teach at Our Lady's Catholic High School in Preston. And who might you be?
I'm Vicky Dodd and I teach at Ashton Community Science College, also in Preston.
Now, as I've been recording these podcasts over the last few months or weeks or whatever, I always just feel a bit sad and lonely that I'm here on my own recording this. And the podcasts I like the most have got dialogue. They've got two people talking, yeah? Vicky's nodding.
I'm nodding. That's useless, of course, on a podcast.
So I thought it would be really useful to hear two teachers talking and questioning and discussing different things. So the plan is I'm going to explain what I've been doing with my class the last few weeks or not. And then we're going to hear from Vicky what she's been doing with her classes. But this is going to be more of a conversation.
Well, I have a year 9 and a year 10 class.
Ah, yeah, I remember it.
Covering year 9, both have 2 hours a week, actually. And there's distinct differences in them that I've noticed.
And they're both doing the GCSE OCR.
Both are following the GCSE OCR course, but I've had to put a pause on delivering any theory with year 9 because of their keyboard skills that I noticed were of a much lesser standard than year 10, so focused on the programming with year 9 so far.
So they're doing a lot of hands-on field and stuff, and you've been doing things like Python challenges.
I've put together 2 booklets of Python challenges that they work through as homework, and then set separate Python problems, if you like, in class for them to solve.
And I've seen you, I think you've shared them in the Computing at School resources.
I put most of my resources are on the Computing at School, but I haven't been on for a couple of weeks, so I've got quite a lot to upload, actually.
I think you've had more downloads.
Downloads than you.
People obviously haven't discovered my untapped talent yet.
Untapped. There's not much left.
So, back to my classes for a few minutes. So, I had the last podcast I recorded, I'd been in Germany for 2 days, and that was up to sort of lesson 39. And then I wasn't in Germany. I was back with my class again on the 30th. And what I'd decided to do was I'd had these Monday lessons where I record. No, I didn't record. I did theory every Monday morning with them, and I just wasn't really liking how the lessons were going. So I decided to set them all the theory using Susan Robson's book, the GCSE computing book. I set them sections of that as homeworks to read, but not just to read, but they had to understand it and make notes. And look, these are the homework books. So this is, I'm looking at 2 books here. I've got a boy and a girl's book, and what they had to do, I'm just looking at now, for each night they had a homework. They had to try to read, understand, and then they would do like a memory map on their page in a book of what the topic was. So we've got 1, 2, 3. We've got things like considerations when using computer systems, units. And so I set them a separate homeworks to do a number of sections in the book. And then my plan was on the 30th of January, when I had the next lesson with them, we had a quiz or a test, and it had 25 questions, and there were things like MTBF, what does that stand for, and what does it mean? So they had to be able to say it was mean time between failure, and they had to explain what that meant. What else did we have? Oh, so airplanes make use of hardware redundancy. Explain what hardware redundancy means. Now, I was actually really impressed, because we went through the answers in class, and...
So they did know that they were having this test, preparation time.
In fact, what I did when I started, the very first two homeworks, no, the first homework, we actually did it in class, because I said, I'm going to set your homework now, and I want you to imagine now you're at home doing your homework. So they had to sit in silence and do the homework in class.
Right.
Which was to read, understand, and make notes.
So what you've implemented is basically a version of the flipped classroom model.
Possibly. I haven't studied flipped learning too much.
You're not
I've heard of it and I've read about it, but I haven't really... Somebody might say, that's not flipped learning.
Well, it is. It's a version of it, isn't it? Because it's an American version of flipped... Well, the Americans have come up with this term, flip classroom model, where they go home and they're doing their what would be their class tasks, really, at home.
Sure.
But you're doing homework in class.
That's right.
So basically, you're rather than lecturing to them, you're sending them away to do that learning that they would normally do in the class and then come back and apply that learning in class.
That's right. And what I did...
How are they applying the learning in class?
So we've actually started the coursework assessments.
Right.
So I have a year 11 class and I ran into big problems with them in not allowing enough time for them to do the controlled assessments within year 11 because we had a lot of absences in the summer term and we had the school production and it really ate into a lot of our time. So I only started relatively recently and I've really struggled to get the year 11. So I decided with year 10, I wasn't going to make that mistake again.
Okay.
So they've actually started on A453, the programming assignment. My year 10s
the programming assignment.
Programming one, yeah.
So when they come back into class, are they also sharing between themselves the kind of learning that they've done at home from the book? Do you do anything with that learning
Well,
that you've expected?
I'd like to say absolutely. But I'm new at this, and I just decided I'd try this model first of all and see if it worked. And I'm pretty impressed that they did well on the test. I mean, I wonder when they came back next... They've been on work experience for 2 weeks. I wonder if they came back and they did exactly the same test, would they get similar results? I don't know.
I'd be interested to see how it could be developed a bit further. Yeah. So when you're sending them away to do the reading and the research and learn stuff, what they can come back in class and do with it.
Yeah.
So to share activities between themselves, to then share what they've learned.
You're really good at this, aren't you? You should be a
teacher,
you know.
I should be a teacher. Yeah. I should have a go at it, Chantal. Yeah.
So, I'm just looking because I've given them a separate book where they make...
See, I don't use books.
Yeah.
I have folders, which you've seen, haven't you? But then they have an e-portfolio on Wix.
Yeah.
I went with Wix to do this kind of thing.
W-I-X.
Yeah, Wix.com.
Okay.
So they all have a free account that I created with Wix. I set the shell of the site up for them. And then I shared it via Wix, so they haven't got to create any pages. That's all done.
My face is going green now with envy.
All they have to do...
This podcast is supposed to make me look good, not...
Well, what they have to do is they have to upload their content, their learning, their theory, onto that. And then they can also get videos from YouTube to help and animations and things.
Yeah.
But I wish I'd used Google Sites instead.
So I tried something like that with my Year 11 class last year. Now, we tried a Wiki.
Yeah.
We tried a Blicky. We tried, and maybe the problem was we tried too many things.
Well,
after
I listened to you, and what I did, well, I did listen to you when you, because I remember I had this discussion with you about the best way to do it, because I'm not keen on books, and what I tried first of all, I thought about first of all, was using web design software, so they could do some HTML as well, but obviously that was stuck internally at school, so I no, we're not going to do that, and then I did some research, and it was a toss between Google Sites and Wix was the easiest one to use and is also, it's not quite compatible editing wise, but it can be viewed on iPads and things.
Mobile devices.
Other tablet devices are available.
Yeah.
But they really like it because they can actually publish it and then I can assess it because they publish.
Right, I think I might look into that. The reason why I ended up adopting books. For a long time, we've not used books in ICT in our school. And I kind of hit problems because in every other subject, they're using books.
Yeah.
So on the front of the books, we've got all these sticky labels, like what their progress, their targets are, their progress grades, literacy targets. And they were doing this all over school. And for a long time, I resisted. And I felt like King Canute trying to hold back the sea. The moment I put books in their hands... It was amazing. I didn't have to tell them how to use the books. They just knew. We have this whole school literacy policy where they have to put the title and date and they have to write in this colour pen and I write in another colour pen. And it's like a universal language you've got across the school.
Well, I mark online, you see, as well, with comments and things.
You're just too good.
Comment-based learning. And then I can record it and do a mail merge for their feedback reports.
So anyway, back to... Right. I'm starting to think this is a bad idea getting you on a podcast.
Okay,
so back to that particular lesson. So it took pretty much a lot of the lesson doing that test, but there were certain questions that they really got stuck on, like ASCII. Now, they couldn't remember what it stood for, but or some of them couldn't explain it. But it means now I know which were the questions that they struggled on. So that's flagged up for me some topics that when we come back that we need to go and address because they're clearly not getting enough from the book. And it also shows which of the ones were doing their homework and which of the ones that weren't doing their homework.
I think it's definitely something I'm going to try, getting them to do this reading, because obviously we've got the electronic version of Susan Robson's as well.
Yeah.
And I can get them to do the reading.
Oh, you're using it as well?
Yeah, we've used it using the book. I'd like to use the videos as well. I haven't looked at that learning tree yet. Learningtree.co, videos online.
I forgot.
And the
Khan
Academy have also just released a load of computer science videos. So it might be worth looking at those too.
I mean, the thing that would be ideal is to get the children to archive and collect all this material together as an aid to themselves and to share with others.
Well, that's why I've put it on Wix, you see, rather than in a book, because then they can find all this online material.
I'm going to have to start looking into Wix. So it's not the hardware store. No.
The only problem is with Wix was that they can only have one free site.
Yeah.
And then that's why I wish I'd perhaps looked into Google.
Sure.
More so, because I've created a Google Apps and Education to all the students at our school now. We've got their own Google accounts and everything like that through the school with our own school domain. And then I didn't realise at the time that Google Sites came as default with that. So each student can then basically create their own portfolio using Google Sites.
And share it with you
and
with others.
And it can be shared. Yeah, yeah. And it can actually be published as well, if they want to, through the school domain.
So
it's worth looking at.
This kind of fits in with what I'm doing with I've been doing my Year 11s this morning. So our school has a whole school revision programme for Year 11s.
Yeah.
Does your school do something similar?
We don't have a whole school revision programme, no. They basically concentrate quite substantially on core subjects, and then individuals. Sometimes we have like an Easter summer school.
Yeah.
But we don't have a revision programme, definitely not to that extent. Right. So, there is a huge document on the screen now.
So this perf child in year 11, from the 11th of March to Sunday the 26th of May,
hasn't got a free minute in its poor life.
She's got six evenings a week with three topics, except there's going to be four this year because she's going to have GCSE computing on there as well.
Right, well, yeah, it makes sense. It's an examining subject. They need revision time in it, don't they?
And so each night they get four topics that they have to revise. So what I've just done today, it's been an inset day in school today, and so I've written my document for GCSE computing, and I've come up with this stupid acronym of USA. So each night that they do their revision programme.
I like that, USA. I like that.
Understand. So they have to understand. And again, we're using Susan Robson's book. Hello, Susan. Hope you're listening. Great book. Love it. Understand the topic. So I've just actually used a table of contents from the start of the book and broken that down into the number of sessions required. Some of them were bigger than others, like operating systems. There's a huge section in the book, so I've split that over two nights. So it says, understand operating systems, page 47 to 50. Summarise, create a one-page memory map for this topic. So they'll have a book to do that. See, a book, not Wix. And then they have to answer. And just before you came, I was getting some of the past exam papers. I was just going to say, June 2011, questions 1 to 4, and so on. So that each week they're doing exam papers, memory maps, and understanding things in the book. But it's the first time I've done it with computing. Anyway, enough about me. Tell us what's been happening in your classroom this week.
I've introduced lists in Python with both Year 9 and Year 10 this week, starting with, should I just describe my lesson?
Absolutely.
Just go through my lesson plan. Well, it started with a Magic 8 Ball simulator online that I found. And
was this the one that you did at the Raspberry Pi event for teachers in York on Wednesday?
No, because I didn't actually do the activity with them. I just told them about it and showed them, this is one thing I would to progress further now. If we had more time, then I would take you through to doing lists and then random selection within Python. But it starts off with the Magic 8 Ball simulator with the question that they had to come up with an idea of how to recreate that program in Python, obviously without the images and the animation.
So if they use random before in Python?
Yeah, we had. Yeah. They love the import time module and they love the import random module.
Right.
Anything like that, they absolutely love.
That's great, because all that sort of really hard mathematical crunching to create random has already been done for them. So it's a tool that they can just bring
in. Yeah, and they understand it quite quickly. I mean, I started it in one of the Python challenge booklets. I've got a really simple program. I asked them to create it where the user was asked to name their best friend and then to give the name of another best friend. And then the program had to randomly select out of those two, which was actually the real best friend. Yeah. And they had to create that.
I've just thought of a wickedly crazy idea. Have you looked at the turtle module in Python
yet? I haven't yet, no.
So, did you not know? Oh, Vicky, you didn't know there's a turtle module in Python.
I have heard of a turtle module, but I haven't imported it.
Well, it's a really easy way of getting a graphic user interface into Python.
Yeah, it can draw, can't it?
It draws, just like a turtle does. So, I mean, you can do the same things in
Scratch.
Can
it draw randomly?
This is what I was going to say. So imagine, and I think, I'm not sure if you can have more than one turtle or not. I haven't explored that yet. But you could just give it totally random things to do. And you can imagine some people would just be fascinated, because if you do it quite quickly, you could be sat there for hours just watching this turtle randomly drawing.
I'm going to import a random turtle now, that's it.
No, you import a turtle.
You import turtle and then you import random and you make the turtle random.
Yeah, but that'd be pretty, because you could almost, you have to try and, you might maybe guess what would the turtle's next move be, then it could do the move and it could tell you, no.
Could you? Yeah.
Possibly.
Well, if it matched.
Yeah, you could see if you...
If it matched, it didn't move. Yeah. And if it didn't match, it did move. Could you do it like that? Could you do it like that?
I don't know. I'm hatching all sorts of plans. Anyway, okay. I interrupted.
Anyway,
did we?
You did. Yeah. Very rude. I were doing the Magic 8 Ball anyway with a simulation, and then they had to come up with ideas. And I have what's called a progress prover in an attempt to try and please, obviously, our Ofsted inspectors when they finally arrive, and to prove progress in a lesson, which I have been told, in no uncertain terms, has to be obvious. So a progress prover has three boxes on it at the beginning of the lesson, to rate their understanding and to give an overview of their ideas, and then halfway through the lesson, and then finally at the end. And the hope is that they'll have rated themselves at the beginning number one, and then halfway through perhaps number three, and then at the end finally number five.
So the child is self-reporting their own.
Their ideas.
Have you tried doing that collaboratively where they would report on each other or check each other's work?
Not yet, no. Yeah. No, but that would be the next stage, wouldn't it? So perhaps then you could introduce the collaboration of reporting on each other's ideas. Mm-hmm. Have they made progress? But then I introduced as well the concept of lists. And I actually gave them a programme to copy out from the board and then questions on it as to what was happening in the programme. And then they had the lines of code printed out. Mm-hmm. And at the bottom was a selection of comments that would fit into the code to describe each line and its function. And they had to put them in. They had to put them in the right place. That was a collaborative task because they had to do that in pairs and take it in turns.
I like that. Because although I'm fairly proud of the way that they use commenting in my class, some of them are better than others.
Yeah.
So one of the activities I've done is I've shown them some code that's commented, and I've asked them to grade the different comments that I'm providing them with on, is it completely useless? Is it helpful? Or, you know, that kind of a scale. But I like that idea that you can give them the comments and then they have to...
They have to match it. So it shows that they understand, actually. They can identify what a line of
code
actually does.
Yeah, they can read it and interpret it.
Yeah, so they give... And that was to try and generate ideas for the Magic 8-Ball.
Is this with year 10?
I did this actually with both.
Yeah.
Because I tried it with both. Mm-hmm. And the year 9s obviously do programming every week, but the year 10s have been doing some theory. So they hadn't actually done any Python for what they said was ages.
Right.
It wasn't. It was about 3 weeks. But both classes were fantastic. After doing the task with the introductory task for lists, then I stopped them and asked them, right, have you got any ideas now? And then I introduced the Magic 8-Ball program, the problem. So I gave them the problem and they had to then break it down and come up with an algorithm, write it out, a brief plan in pseudocode, basically.
Have you tried doing anything in terms of sharing the children's progress with parents other than, like, the reports that go home every term or so?
They have, what they do have, it's not shared with parents yet, and you actually gave me this idea this week. What I do is, with year 10, they have a Google Drive, obviously their Google account, and they have a Dropbox on there.
Yeah.
And in there, they have all their Python program programs sure. are uploaded,
yes.
but they also have, that's filled in by me, is a Python progress log.
Yeah.
And I go through and test all their programs and comments, and mm-hmm. they have a WWDO and an EBI, and anything that's not completed, it's highlighted as not yeah. completed, and anything
so EBI
needs improving.
Is even better if?
Even better
yeah.
if.
Yeah.
All marked with the matrix thing yeah. that I've shown you previously. And that is obviously available online. They have access to it. I have access to it. And that's the next stage, could be to share that with parents, because that's individual to yeah. the students.
Yes.
It's individual feedback every time that they complete homework.
So do you remember I was showing you something the other day, which is I've got a spreadsheet set
yeah.
up in Google. And what I did was I sent a text message home to all the parents and asked if they would send me their email address so I could report their child's progress to them. Because we started the program assignment now, A453, and what happens now is the parents can log in. Well, not log in, it's a link to the document. So anybody who has the link,
I've
turned it into a tiny URL. In fact, I could share it in the podcast. It's tinyurl.com, and this one, it's tinyurl.com/11dco1. So people could have a look at that. But on the left-hand side, I've got the progress showing, and the right-hand side, I've got the amount of hours that they've spent in class, because they're only supposed to have 20 hours on an assignment, and some of them have missed some of the time. So we can see if they've got scope for getting more time in. That looks pretty good.
It does. It looks very good. It's looking like there's a lot complete.
Well, I think we've gone slightly longer than...
I didn't finish telling you about the Magic 8 Ball and the Year 8, anyway.
Should we leave that as a cliffhanger till the next episode? No, go on.
Well, the Year 9s actually did better, I thought, at it than the Year 10s, because they'd obviously been practicing Python consistently. Ah. But they tackled it quite quickly
sure.
over a shorter amount mm-hmm. of time than the Year 10s. The Year 10s, so it's a double lesson. So the Year 10s really did take the entire lesson.
Yes.
With the exception of a couple of them mm-hmm. who were obviously gifted and talented, and one did finish it within 45 minutes. But that was obviously with a Magic 8 Ball. They had to create a Magic 8 Ball program that had up to 20 responses that were randomly generated mm-hmm. after the user had been asked to input their yes or no question, then entered shake to retrieve their answer or exit to exit the program.
So that's a condition controlled loop, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then what they also had to do was, once they'd been told their answer, mm-hmm. then ask them if they wanted to ask another question or exit the program. So then it had to go on as well.
Wow, it's been a busy week or so, because I was just thinking, it was last Saturday. I saw one of your pupils at the Tech Whiz event in Accrington,
yes, I didn't go.
And he went with one
so
of mine.
Bad.
It was a really, really good event. I was really impressed with the organisation. How, like, when you turned up, they had all these lists on the wall and you could sign up. And there was a workshop on Unreal Development Kit. There was another one on creating Google apps. Apps using the Google App Inventor. There was another workshop on, what was it? Oh, our friend Ben Smith. He did a workshop. Blender, of course. And
you got to
mention.
Blender. I've got yeah. to use Blender yeah. this week, actually. I did say I'd get to using Blender and I would introduce it with one of my classes. I'll do it with the Year 10s.
So there's a couple more events coming up that people perhaps need to know about, which is that event we had on Wednesday
yeah.
in York. We're planning for a big Raspberry Jam to happen on Saturday the 13th of April. And I'm hoping we're going to get about 300 in all, families, mums and sons, dads and daughters, all coming to do stuff with Raspberry Pis. What other things? Oh, and there's, of course, the Raspberry Jamboree.
There's the Raspberry Jamboree as well.
On the...
That is the, not the 16th of March, that is the 9th
of
March.
The 9th of March in Manchester. There's about 15 tickets, I think, left.
Is that all?
Yeah.
That's
out of 340. And we've got another couple of minutes. Did you notice the DfE had published a new draft?
I did notice.
Programme of study for...
It's caused some ructions, hasn't it?
So is it the new ICT?
It's not the new ICT, is it? There is no mention of ICT.
It's the... I got an iPad this week.
Oh,
I didn't buy it. I got given it.
I'm going to post that picture of you on Twitter.
So I've got the program of study here on my iPad. Now, as I'm looking through...
On an iPad.
I know.
On an iPad.
I found something that the iPad is really useful for.
Reading?
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to say? Yeah.
And I had a Google Hangout as well on it the other day, which is great because it meant I could free up my other computing devices. But I was looking at the Key Stage 1, and it's all about algorithms and sequences and selection and all that. I thought, wow, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Write and test simple programs.
Iteration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then Key Stage 2, there you've got to go down into sequence selection, repetition programs, variables, various forms of input, generate appropriate inputs and predicted outputs to test programs.
The thing that got me...
And networks in Key Stage 2. They've got to understand computer networks.
That's going to be quite an exciting time, don't you think?
Exciting. Exciting is
seat of the pants, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the way as well at Key Stage 4, it's in all pupils. Ah, there's a key word here.
It's actually quite clever. Yeah. It's open to interpretation in Key Stage 4, isn't it? Because it says...
Opportunity.
All pupils must have the opportunity to study aspects of information technology. That's one of only two references to information technology. Or computer science at sufficient depth. Rah, rah. But then it goes on to say, all pupils should be taught too. Open to interpretation, isn't it? Yeah. So whether is that an option, but when it says all pupils should be taught too... Does that make it compulsory?
And when you say they must have the opportunity, do you mean, do you allow them to opt for that opportunity?
Well, that's the interpretation, isn't
it? Do you give them that opportunity? You know, do you allow for that opportunity or do you give them that opportunity? Interesting.
So all pupils must have the opportunity to study aspects of both at sufficient depth to allow them to progress to higher levels of study. But all pupils must be taught too.
Now,
so
Vicky, much as I love talking about computing on a Friday afternoon, I'm a bit worried our school building's going to be shut in 5 minutes. I'm going to get locked in.
That'd be really tragic.
Yeah. So let us know what you think of this new podcast. If you like it, if you think that Vicky should be on it next time, then...
Perhaps I should have my own.
I don't know. You've got some soy sauce in your pocket. That's
bizarre.
Why would you have a bottle of soy sauce in your pocket? I don't know anybody that would...
It's a bottle of soy sauce that is just an inch and a half high.
Yeah, okay. That's maybe a story for another time.
That's a story for another time,
So, download the podcast, go to iTunes, do a search for Techno Teacher, T-E-K-N-O, and if you want to find out all about Vicky's resources, look for at VickyVille on Twitter. That's V-I-K-K-I-Ville, as in V-I-L-L-E. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Bye.